Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to see all the new candidates and catechumens here tonight. I hope we enjoyed the weather today. It was a little bit cool and brisk, but it's a time of year when we're changing. I think it's finally turning the corner to get to the colder weather. So in the gospel today, we see a very dramatic moment when Jesus drives the street vendors and money changers out of the temple area. In a way, he's cleansing the temple. But it's interesting to consider why all these people were there. Why were the merchants even there? Well, it was a time of Passover, an important Jewish feast when many, many people would be making a pilgrimage to the temple to offer sacrifice. And not everybody had sacrifice. Not everybody had the sacrificial animals. So they needed to purchase proper animals, oxen, sheep, and doves. Also, they needed to change money into a currency that was suitable to offer in the temple. So they needed this service. Just to give you an idea how many people might have been there, in a Jewish Passover, a first century historian, Josephus, wrote that in one Passover year, 250,000 lambs were sacrificed. That's 250,000 lambs. And these lambs, usually one per family, so potentially 250,000 families, and that's not including the oxen and the doves. So when you think about it, all these people selling these animals and changing the money were probably doing a service, but maybe they could have chosen a better location. So I've thought about this gospel when I'm visiting pilgrimage sites on vacation or going to just regular tourist sites. Now, years ago, I visited Lourdes, and I remember walking on the road toward the grotto, and I was trying to get myself into a reflective, a meditative, prayerful mood, and all these street vendors were along the way, kind of making noise and trying to get me to buy these cheap souvenirs, and it was really frustrating, I tell you. And then also, same thing when I was at Fatima. It was crowded, and again, many of these cheap souvenir shops yelling for my business. And it was very, very difficult for me to get into the spirituality of the site. Or when you visit a tourist site, you know, like the Colosseum in Rome or Eiffel Tower in Paris, these vendors are practically blocking access to these sites. So it's very, very frustrating when you've, you know, made all that effort to get there and then you have this distraction. Well, in those moments, I want to be like Jesus and I want to drive them away, but I don't quite have that same authority. I'm sure some of you have experienced a similar frustration. After he drives the people away, and all the animals and the money changers, he surprises everybody even further. He calls the temple his father's house, and he basically identifying himself as the Messiah. He equates the temple of Jerusalem with his own body, and he speaks about his death and resurrection, and we will raise the temple in 3 days. This teaching is very challenging to those who heard him, including the apostles, and even they wouldn't understand it fully until after they saw the risen Jesus. In the second reading today, St. Paul is telling the Corinthians and us that we are God's building, we are temples, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we are holy. That's a lot to contemplate. So how do we understand this? Sometimes when I'm reading St. Paul, I can relate to what Steve Peter said about Paul when he said, sometimes Paul's teachings are difficult to understand. This has been called the understatement of the New Testament. So the temple language applies to our individual bodies and souls, but also applies to us collectively. Together, we are temples. Together, we are the church. Together, we are the body of Christ. At that time, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the pagans had huge temples for their worship. Paul is telling the Christians that they do not need large stone buildings because they are the church. In the first reading from Ezekiel, he tells us about a river in his vision. Along the banks are animals of every kind, fruit trees whose leaves never fade, and every kind of fish in the water. The river provides for food, healing, and cleansing. This river of life runs into the sea, that makes the salty water fresh. What does this remind us of? Maybe our baptismal waters, how the water and the Holy Spirit cleanses and renews us and brings us to new life and prepares us for God to dwell in us. In fact, in the rite of baptism for children, during the prayer of exorcism and anointing, we pray to God to free the child from original sin and to make them a temple of his glory. So we see this theme of our soul and our body being a temple and how we together are the body of Christ, united with each other and with Christ. And to repeat myself, we are the church. And we have holy places to worship, to celebrate the sacraments and the holy liturgy. We have churches, basilicas, cathedrals, many holy sites around the world that we can visit. When we are in church and we celebrate the Holy Mass, through the mystery of transubstantiation, the bread and wine become the body and blood, the real presence of Jesus. At that moment, we are closer to heaven than we will ever be in this life. In our church, sometimes I like to sit in the back, straight back here, if I'm at a daily Mass or an adoration, and my eye is always drawn to our altar, the tabernacle, the crucifix, and the stained glass window. Now, during the day, what you will see in that stained glass window, it shows two circles coming together, heaven and earth coming together, and there's the tangent point, and it represents where heaven touches earth. That represents the Eucharist, our access to heaven. So when it comes together, and we are the church, together in this church building. Now, speaking of churches and temples, today we celebrate the feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome. Sometimes you'll hear this basilica often referred to as St. John Lateran. So you might wonder, who was St. John Lateran and what's so special about this basilica? So the answer to those questions is, you know, quite a bit of the history of the church, but I won't go into all that right now. I'll just tell you a couple of highlights. Around the year 65, the Roman Emperor Nero confiscated this nice piece of property on a hill in Rome from the Lateranus family because they were implicated in a conspiracy against him. So he took the property and he punished them. His property remained as an imperial property until Emperor Constantine donated it to the Bishop of Rome in 313 AD. That means the emperors had this property for almost 250 years. Well, Constantine donated it to build a church on that site. And a few years later, on this day in 324, the basilica was consecrated to the Most Holy Savior by Pope Sylvester. In the 9th century, it was dedicated to John the Baptist, in the 12th century to John the Evangelist. So the name John Lateran comes from these two saints, John the Baptist and John the Evangelist. Now the basilica is important because this was the first major Christian church built in the Roman Empire. It is called the mother and head of all churches of the city of Rome and the world. The Lateran Basilica houses the cathedra, the chair of Bishop of Rome, the chair of St. Peter, which is why it's called both a basilica and a cathedral. Many people think that the chair is in the Vatican, but no, it is in the Lateran Basilica. So today, this feast is unique because there are no other feasts about a building. Usually it's about a person or an event. But really, when we consider the teachings of St. Paul and the gospel, it's also a celebration of the full meaning of church. How we are united in the church, united with each other, united with Christ, and we are part of the mother of all churches. In the 6th century, St. Caesarius of Arles wrote a sermon about the teaching of St. Paul, about Pentecost, and about the birth of the church. How God does not only dwell in structures made by man, but he dwells mainly in the human soul made in his own image. And he wrote a sermon, and it was just a beautiful sermon, and I was really tempted just to read it tonight. But I'll just give you a few highlights, a couple of words that, you know, my prayer is as we leave tonight that we remember these words. The temple of God is holy, and you are that temple. especially important for everybody to hear and remember again. The temple of God is holy, and you are that temple.